Hello, Exile. If you're hearing this, you're listening to the Still Sane podcast on Spotify, Apple, or another podcasting service. If you're doing that, I'm missing out on some YouTube goodness, some juiciness to the YouTube channel, which is the primary way of growing this whole ordeal. So if you'd like, if you really enjoy the podcast, please leave a review on Apple or Spotify. Give it 5 stars, give it 4 stars, whatever. It'll help boost my reach there and hopefully encourage me to continue to post there and grow my presence on these podcasting platforms. Yes, it does cost a decent chunk of money to post these onto them. I know it's shocking, but it is true. All right, enjoy the podcast. Thanks, Exiles. Greetings and salutations, my fellow exiles. I am sitting down tonight with Cal Turak to talk all things Path of Exile 2. The dude's builds have been absolutely popping off, and he has a specialty as well as a few spicy takes on Path of Exile 2 Early Access, Path of Exile 1, game development as a whole. So before we hop into all those cool topics, Cal Turak, man, I've been a subscriber of yours since GGG highlighted one of your Thorns builds in 010 in their Build of the Week series. But for those of us who haven't seen any of your content, could I just get a brief introduction and an overview of what you do on YouTube?
I'm Cal Turak. I make builds, I guess, now for Path of Exile 2, which is wild. Some people might know me as Zoya. I used to make Heroes of the Storm and StarCraft content back in the day. I used to do a bunch of esports stuff for those games. This channel is kind of like a happy accident. I had started it to reteach myself the YouTube algorithm for my game development job. No, I don't know. Like, we are a two-man team there, so none of us, like, one of us has to do like the YouTube promoting and stuff, right? And it had been a while since I made content. So I just started this channel as like a way to just kind of like figure out how YouTube Shorts worked and stuff, and just started making videos. They randomly started getting subscribers, and then I happened to make one single Thorns video for PoE2, and it wasn't even a build guide. It was just me like, hey, look at all these cool Thorns stuff in the game, and it is currently still my most viewed PoE2 video.
What's it sitting at? It's a short, right?
No. It's a video. It's a Path of, it was my very first Path of Exile 2 video. Well, actually, yeah, my shorts are more viewed than those videos.
Okay,
I mean, my most viewed, yeah, I got like
long form.
4 shorts and 250,000 views.
I saw those, dude. I was like, oh my God, this is crazy.
Insane. But yeah, that first video I made is like my most viewed long form video. And it wasn't even a build guide. It was just me like just showing stuff with Thorns, and everything just kind of snowballed from there. For the record, I don't know if this is just what like people are going to call them. I don't consider that one build GGG highlighted a Thorns build. It's a Reflect build, but Thorns builds are, I don't know if that's like, yeah, like a nitpicky thing, but it was that was really wild, man. That was so insane to happen to be the second person of everyone selected. I'm kind of sad that they picked that build because it's like one of my weirder builds. I have some really cool builds in 0.1 and 0.2 that aren't Reflect builds,
right?
But that was an insane, like, I'm still shocked that it happened. I still like smile thinking about it.
How did that happen? Did they reach out over email, or like, did they count? What did they do? Did they just rip it?
I was literally at the gym, and one of my friends PM'd me in the Discord, Malthil is reacting to your video right now. I'm like, oh, which video? He's like, the one GGG made. And I was like, huh? The one GGG made?
What
do you mean? They're like, you don't know? And I'm like, no. And they're just like, yeah, GGG featured one of your builds. And I literally, like, I paused the music I was listening to at the gym, and I literally just stood there and watched this video, just like, jaw agape, like, I had no idea they were doing it at all. It just, it was such a surreal experience. It's still wild to me that it happened.
That's amazing. I didn't know they didn't reach out to you. But
nope,
those are kind of,
they just dropped it.
Yeah, that's really exciting though. Like you said, Mathil was the one that was reacting to it when you first realized it was happening.
Yeah.
See, like learning about someone watching your video, like that happened to me with a few content creators with my first videos, and it was always like, wait, that person that I've been watching for like 5 years,
right,
is,
yeah,
randomly watching one of my videos. This is so cool. It's a crazy feeling. I can't believe they didn't contact you though. That's wild.
Nope.
Hopefully for 020, you know, they contact you and you guys can be like, well, here, I actually have this really cool build that I love to highlight, you know. Since you're pumping out stuff.
I have some
stuff.
Really fun builds. My Thorns builds are fun, but I don't know if you saw the minion build I did. I thought that was my favorite build of the patch so far. I use Unearth. I don't know if you've seen that skill. It's the witch starting skill that spawns from corpses.
Yeah.
I use that with the specters that spawn minions, like the Locust Queen and stuff. Their spawns drop corpses. So you just have infinite spawning corpses from these specters. And then it's a really easy gem to get high skill level because it scales off of physical spell skills, not just minion skills. There's no minion skill wand, but you can get plus 5 physical spell skills on the wand, which just gets the gem skill level like easily to level 40. Like you can get it above 40 technically, but it caps at 40. But it makes the minions super powerful, and it literally floods this. It's like, I call it my StarCraft 2 build, my StarCraft build, because you have over 100 minions on screen if you do it right.
Yeah,
it's so fun.
Okay, I'm gonna need to check out that video, and I'll link it in the description for anybody who wants to see it. By the way, his channel's gonna be linked in the description. He's got a bunch of crazy stuff, and I didn't actually include this question, but I figure since we're chatting about some of your builds, Cal, do you have like a favorite build that you've made in PoE 2 so far, or not one that's a favorite child yet?
I really, really liked my Bone Storm build I did in 0.1.
Okay.
It was like the first build that like I made without like looking anything up. I had saw someone use like the Snake Pit Pearl Ring on a Ember Fusillade build, I think. And I was like, oh, I wonder how this would work with Bone Storm. And then it just ended up being like, it was like the first build I cleared +4 Arbiter on. And that was like, oh, okay. I can actually like, I'm not just a gimmicky guy, like this is like I can clear difficult content with build crafting, and I was really excited to do Bone Storm in 0.2. first I wanted to do it on Roa, but Roa can't use spells when you're doing Bone Storm, so that broke my heart. And then Snake Pit Pearl Ring went from like a 1 exalt item last patch to like a 15 divine item this patch. I think for multiple builds we're using it, like I think ED con builds and stuff were using it early on, so I was just like, well, there's like not a single build I've made that has cost 15 divine total so far. So I'm not going to justify spending 15 divine on a single item. So it's just like, no, but like, and I'm not going to play Bone Storm without Snake Pit Pearl Ring after I play with it 0.1. So it's just like, rip.
Right. Well, your creativity, okay. It, from what I've seen, it's kind of unmatched right now. Like, there's not a lot of people moved on from PoE 2 pretty quickly. And you've stuck with it. I'm kind of curious. A lot of the people who have moved on have a lot of experience in the ARPG genre when it comes to content creation, or just people lasted PoE 2 for like a week and they're like, no build diversity, Lightning Spear is the best, I'm just moving on. Have you played a lot of ARPGs in the past? Did you play Path of Exile 1, any of the Diablos, any other ARPGs? Or was PoE 2 your first foray into it? Because I know you mentioned Heroes of the Storm, World of Warcraft. Any other ARPGs?
Yeah, I've been playing ARPGs my whole life. I've been playing Diablo 1. Like, my dad's a hardcore gamer.
Oh, wow.
And, like, I grew up, like, sitting on his lap watching him play games. Nice. And then, like, we eventually used to do, like, hot seat games with laptop, passing them back and forth. I've been playing Diablo 1 since I was too young to be playing Diablo 1.
Yep.
Where I literally had nightmares of the Butcher the first time seeing him. Literally had nightmares of him. But I've been playing those games for a long time. I was always too afraid to be a build creator in PoE 1. The game is very overwhelming. I've been playing it since its original early access. If you're one of the people who used to trade in the mud flats by dropping loot on the ground, hey, I was one of those dudes too. I've been playing it for a very long time. It's just I was always too intimidated to do my own build crafting there. I guess I was just younger. I had too much of a min-maxer approach to games, like a lot of people do. And when I would think about making my own build, I would go, well, there's no way I'm going to be able to pull off a build that's mathematically better than these guys who have been doing it for so much longer. So majority of the time I would play PoE 1 was copying you guys know me as the Thorns guy. My friends know me as the Cyclone guy. Like, I literally play any form of Cyclone in any single ARPG ever. I love Spin the Wind. It is like, If you're a Spin the Wind boy, you get it. There's just a zen to just Cyclone that you're floating through the map, and it is so enjoyable. If Cyclone was in the game when PoE 2 came out, I may not have messed with Thorns much.
That's true. So I'm guessing you're pretty excited for its implementation eventually into the game.
Oh yeah, because they added Crackling Barrier. It's a support gem that gives you, I think it's 15% increased Thorns damage when using a channeled skill, and Cyclone is a channeled skill. So when Cyclone's introduced, you can, I know there's like an item that like makes your knockback pull in. So I'm going to do like a Cyclone Thorns build that's like yoinking people into the pool, and yeah. I'm sure there'll be some fun. Yeah. But yeah, so I'm going to play Cyclone.
Oh, definitely. Causing people to hit you. So if your Cyclone doesn't kill them, they're just killing themselves, you know, attacking you.
Yes.
That sounds good.
Yes.
Very cool. Okay. So you're a veteran, been playing PoE1 for a long time, and crafting builds, it was too intimidating. So was it more so just the build crafting itself, or did you build craft in private at all, or you just didn't? You just followed builds and didn't post anything?
I've build crafted in other ARPGs, but in PoE1, there's just like especially early on in PoE1, I would make my own builds, but once it got just the layer of depth that the end game has, like there are just mathematical breakpoints you have to do, and it's not that I can't do math, it's that it's like when I'm playing games, I don't want to be doing math. I want to
preach.
Like when I'm in PoE1 or in any in ARPG, I don't want to be sitting in my stash crafting for hours. I don't want to be sitting in my trading for hours. I want to immediately log in, put a wet map in, and just blast with some music off and just like go and just like just play the game. Like I don't want to, like I don't mind doing that stuff, but there's just a level, like you said, there's a level of depth and complexity in PoE1 that once you understand it, like once you actually truly understand it, you realize that. And especially my biggest problem with PoE, like I have a few complaints about PoE1, but my biggest complaint for the longest time that really prevented me from build crafting was the cost to respec. For the longest time in PoE1, if you messed up a character, it meant you made a new character. Mm-hmm. You oftentimes did not have enough regret orbs, and if you did, it was probably not worth it to spend them making on that character regretting all of those passives. It was not a good environment for experimentation, and I specifically, like, we can go into it if you want, but I really dislike the PoE1 campaign. It is the worst campaign of any ARPG experience when it comes to just how, like, if you take a break from PoE1 and you forget, like, which vendors do which things, I remember when I took a 2-year break from the game, I came back, how do I get scrolls the ID? And he's like, you gotta like go to this vendor and you trade him. Like there's so many different vendor loops and you have to know what gems you can do. And then you have throughout the campaign, you have all these different colored sockets. You have these different links. You finally get a big upgrade, but you can never equip it. Like, mm-hmm. I hate leveling through the campaign, and I was never good enough at it to where like a lot of people are like, whoa, the campaign's 6 hours. I never got it. Right. I was always so angry during the campaign that it would be like, play for 3 hours, I have to take a break. Play for 3 hours, take a break. I never mastered it. So it was a combination of the cost of respec versus me just never taking the time to master the PoE1 campaign that it was just those two things always prevented me from wanting to ever build make in PoE1.
Those are two interesting things that push you off from PoE1. Now, I'd love to, before we dive into more build crafting, to contrast that with Path of Exile 2. So on the respecking front, do you think that's a lot more fair in Path of Exile 2, especially once you get a little bit later into the game?
Oh yeah, I think it's still kind of harsh. It might need to be tuned down a little bit for early access. Yeah. I'm working on a Thorns Chihula monk right now, and I just spent like 8 million gold trying different things on him, and now I'm broke. And now I have to figure out what I'm going to do about that. It really sucks. It honestly really sucks as like a build creator who's actually trying to like test things for GGG mm-hmm. and like give good feedback. Like I just spent all of my gold on a single character and it was for good things. I just learned stuff on this Chiyula monk that's going to completely change all of my Thorns builds going forward. I just solved so many problems with it, but it was so costly. And maybe that's how it should be, but it's way better than PoE1. I don't know how it is now. Whenever I saw PoE2 at the first time they displayed it at ExiledCon, like the real first display, I think it was like 2 years ago, I was like, okay, D4 was bad at the time and I was pissed at it. I was like, okay, I'm taking a break from ARPGs. I'm not touching anything until PoE2's out. So there was like, I had not touched PoE1 until the Pox lift.
Okay.
I a big gap there.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it's like now. I heard they did add gold respecs to PoE1, so it might be better now to like go into that aspect. But in terms of like what it was before, PoE2 is way, way better for that aspect.
I didn't know it was that expensive in Endgame, but I mean, if I guess if you are respecking a bunch of nodes consistently, thing exactly. So that 8 million, I mean, it builds up, especially when you got those gamble boxes now. You want that gold for the gamble boxes, man.
Oh, no. I have a YouTube short I'm posting tomorrow of me walking up to one, and I click it, and I get a perfect jeweler orb. And all I think what my instant response was, yep, Thorne's OP, boys. That's just the short. But yeah, those that is the single best change to this patch, by the way, is those gamble boxes. Like, that is the perfect dopamine rush you want in these games. It's just every time you see them, you're just like, yeah, you don't care how much gold you waste. You're going to click it every time.
100%. Yep. I just got one.
Every time.
Yep. Yeah, I spent as much gold as I possibly could. So, okay. So chain.
Never click more than four times. Click more than four times. Okay. If you do the fifth one, it's like millions of gold, and that is never going to be.
You don't think it's worth it?
You might get lucky.
Do you have a better chance than that last one or no?
I don't know, but every time the two times I tried it, I got augmentations from it. So I chat might know better than me, but I always stop at four, and then the fifth one has never felt worth it to me. Cause it's like 1.5, 1.7 million gold, sometimes 2 million. I don't know how it scales and stuff.
Yeah. Mine was a 2 million. So it probably wasn't worth it. I could not afford it. I probably would have clicked it cause I'm an idiot, but I could not afford it.
Maybe it gives you that perfect mirror drop, you know?
Possible. Okay, so respec, good. Now campaign. This is going to be a spicy ass take, I presume, from you. PoE 1 campaign, not a fan of. Path of Exile 2 campaign, obviously you're cranking out quite a few different builds. How do you feel about the campaign right now?
Characters in Endgame already.
Yeah.
So I think the bosses are like my favorite. Like, I don't know if I could enjoy ARPG campaigns as much as the PoE 2 bosses specifically. Just the boss portion of it. Yeah. Every boss fight is kind of fun. Like, even like whenever I'm trying out a new build, I will specifically go to all of the side bosses just to see how the build interacts with those encounters, right? Versus a lot of like, not all the fights in the PoE 1 campaign or any ARPG campaign for that matter. A lot of the bosses are like you face tank every one of their mechanics, and they're not boss fights. They're rares. They're glorified rares. Mm-hmm. Not all of them. There are quite a few boss fights in PoE 1, like a Katava. That's really cool, right? Yeah. But it's the bosses just are very enjoyable to look forward to. There's always the next boss fight that you can look forward to, and that's what I enjoy the most. Right now, there's like a lot of friction in the campaign. The map layouts like are some of them are so damn awful. I don't care how many times they tweak waterways. I'm never going to be happy with it until they remove the stupid damn levers. Like, some of the layouts are just awful. But when I think about what the game will become when it has Acts 4, 5, and 6, I don't know if there's going to be a ARPG campaign experience comparable anytime soon. It's going to be like, think of how many bosses we have right now. 4, 5, and 6 are going to double it with 3 new Citadel bosses. Mm-hmm. Like, mapping is going to just get completely changed with boss variety alone when that gets introduced, right? Yeah. Like, who knows what that's going to be like in vain, but like, yeah, that's the best part about the campaign right now. It's just like every boss is like a new challenge,
right?
And you get to really measure where your build's at, because a boss is going to tell you if, like, oh, my damage is starting to taper off, oh, my survivability's taking a hit now, I might need to change these passives up because I've been really greedy with my damage and stuff.
Yeah.
So I just think it's the bosses that carry the campaign.
Yeah. Boss fights, my favorite thing in PoE 2 right now as well. So I'm curious, is there any particular boss that you found is a true challenge for many builds? Like a one true encounter that just pushes your build to the max pretty much every time or most of the times? Or is it different for every build, kind of?
It's different for every build. I think like what I use to benchmark my builds is Breach. Breach is like very accessible, like cost-wise, and like doing +2 or +3 Breach, if you can clear it, I find that to be a reasonably strong build. There are specific builds like Thorn's builds, the stupid fire skeleton. I don't know the Bone Construct boss.
Yeah.
That is the hardest possible boss for reflect bosses. A lot of his shot attacks will one-shot you. A lot of them are really dangerous to try and take hits for Thorns. So like anytime I see like Hidden Grotto, or I think he's also on Abyss,
yes,
I burn those maps. I just put the Waystone in it, and I put another one in right after, and it gets rid of the boss modifier because it's too risky. I will die and lose my experience. It's just he is the single hardest boss fight for Reflect builds, but I look forward to, and I guess a third answer would be the ones I look forward to is all the Citadel bosses. Anytime I do a Citadel, I am super excited for it. The Citadel fights in general are like the coolest fights in the game. Like all three of them are like Doriani, the lead up to Doriani. I love when he's like shit talking you and he's like taunting you on your way up. Like that, the theme of Doriani's fight, super cool. But when Jamin-Raw cuts the train in half, that is the coolest fucking moment in any ARPG. There have been so many attempts to change the terrain in battles in many different boss fight games. But the motherfucker cut. Can I curse on your podcast?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes, you
okay,
can.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't check beforehand.
No, you're good.
He cut the train in half, dude. He cut the train in half, dude. And then you have the Count's fight where that poem is so cool. So like all three of the, like, yeah, it's those, yeah. The boss fights are just cool, man.
Count Geonor and Jamin-Raw, just the atmosphere, very hard to top for me. I am eagerly anticipating Acts 4, 5, and 6, man. What they eventually decide to do as well with the end game, because actually in like POE 1, the end game bosses and the stories surrounding them are just as good as the campaign, if not better a lot of the time. So right now, obviously, it's bare bones as all hell. Like, you know, you go down to the Arbiter and he's like, the fourth edict. And you're like, what the fuck is the fourth edict? What's going on, right? And I feel like once that's all chained together, it's going to feel so fulfilling. The atmosphere is going to be so great and on par with like Count Geonor and everything.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Have like multiple arbiters. Like I assume there's going to be an arbiter of
the Nazgul guy. Ash,
yeah. Other Whatever things. And I like there's going to be bosses beyond that. And then eventually bosses beyond that. And then of course they'll bring up like the more difficult versions of the previous bosses we've encountered and stuff. And it's just, like, yeah, the end game really has no depth right now. The reason why I make so many characters right now is because after about 30 to 50 maps, you've seen everything there is to see.
Right.
And you can't, like, if you're a blaster and stuff, you can go beyond that. But for me, it's like usually 30, maybe 50, 100 maps. And it's just like, okay, I'm level 90 to 93. And if I wanted to push further, it would just, like, there's no reason. By that point, I can clear +3 to +4 content. So
you are casually dunking on me because I just must die very frequently because I am not level 90 and I have done more than I think 100 maps. Maybe I haven't. They need to add a scroll for that to see how many maps I've completed.
I play Reflect builds and I have to spend a lot of time solving dying because you're taking damage to deal damage, right?
All right.
So I invest usually heavily into defensives, and my characters have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of deaths, man. Yeah. I have probably lost, like, if there was not the extreme death penalty, I'd probably level like 98 to 99 on most of my characters. Like, I die so much. I agree that there has to be, like, maybe it's just like a get good noob type situation. It's not something I'm going to be like die out, like willing to fight over. Like, if this is how it is, it's how it is. But like on my Chayula monk right now. So for Thorns builds, you like at level 20, you can use level 20 skill gems, and a lot of Thorns damage comes from Scavenge Plating skill gem, like almost all of it. So when you have a level 20 corrupted gem to 21, that is a huge, huge damage spike for you. And you need to be level 90 for it. And it is such a struggle hitting level 90 without it. Once you have level 90, you get such an insane damage increase. It makes all of your mapping and everything so much easier. So you can grind to 93, 94. But that grind to 90 is just so dangerous because of the XP loss. And I agree with you on that.
Yeah, the level 90 power spike, I kind of like that there's that late kind of built-in power, like late in power just waiting for you that you know you can get as long as you have the gems available at level 90. It's like a sure it's almost like it's not like an extra ascendancy, but it's just a big boost in power that you know you can get if you can build your character to level 90, which is quite the task for quite a few people. Honestly, like if you're hitting level 90, you're like it's said, hard. Reasonably into the end game. Yeah. So I'm so close.
There's a lot of chaos in level 15 Waystones that can just like, no matter what you do, you can run into modifiers that like make you can't regenerate over half and stuff, or so many different one shots. Like you have to be really on your toes if you're pushing for 90 or just have an unkillable build. And it's tough.
Do you have a least favorite Waystone modifier? Top of mind, I'm curious. Like one that you're just
it
like...
It was Ignited Ground until my Beera's Reflect build. That build's funny because if you step on Ignited Ground, it procs Beera's, and Beera's was like just one-shotting the entire screen, right? So Ignited Ground maps were actually just like... It was an Ignited Ground map build, so you could just run on all those patches and you're just instantly killing anything and not having to do anything. But Ignited Ground is really awful. Even after they nerfed its damage, it's just... I burn every Ignited Ground map. Temporal Chains is a close second right now. When I say close seconds, I burn all of them. I'm like, meaning I vendor them or like sell them to somebody or give them to a friend or whatever. Like, I don't ever use those ones. Yeah, Temporal Chains and Ignited Ground. And yeah, those two are just like hard nose.
Yeah, I'm swapped with you. Temporal Chains number one, Ignited Ground number two. The Temporal Chains change.
Doesn't matter the build.
Right, it's crazy.
It doesn't matter the build.
It went from like 7% to 22%. That is crazy.
And like when you have like, I don't know why GGG is punishing move speed so hard on armor builds. Like when you're wearing like a big armored shield and like and you're doing a full armor build, your move speed is already like struggling to get over 0%. And then like you're talking about minus 20 something percent. Like it's just temporal change are just like you. I don't think any build would want to do it. Like you'd be like, so like it would have to have every other modifier perfect for you to want to do it, I guess.
I hadn't seen it in action, what you're describing with the armor and the shield temporal chains, until off meta Michael made a video showcasing it. I mean,
oh,
you're basically
good.
Not.
Good
yeah,
man.
He did.
Good
and it's
man.
Just, he's just like, yeah, so here's what it is without the armor and everything. And now you equip the armor and the shield and you're just like, it's like you're moving through molasses. It's crazy. So,
these are the videos we need, my man.
It's a good video. It's a good video. So just
okay, that is exactly like when you make that video, if anyone at GGG sees it, it doesn't all that has to happen is GGG sees that video. There's no guarantee. He did the best he could. We've done the best we could, right? Like, but if anyone, it's obvious to them, right? It doesn't, like, no one's thinking, oh, that needs to be that way, right? The moment they see that interaction, someone's going to make adjustments.
Yeah.
We just have to hope they see it.
He had a really great, or an interesting solution with temporal chains. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on it because I thought it was quite creative, wherein instead of the modifier just being on the map permanently, it's the map spawns with like an extra mob, a witch that's casting it, and if you hunt her down, you know, she's like a rare or unique mob, and you kill her, it's gone from the map, and she, you know, maybe she drops, she does like extra rarity boost on her. I thought that was such a fascinating idea.
That's cool.
Like
it's an interesting concept because you have that one map. It's the bog in Act 3 where you kill the witch for your spirit gem.
As a bog, yeah.
You have the little fire altar in the middle that when you clear it, it gives you the map buff, right? That's a very similar mechanic, right?
Where I like
you complete an activity and then it causes a modifier to the buff. The downside with those things is you have like the mentality of, oh, I can't kill anything in the map until I find her, right?
Because
of
what she
does.
True.
But that's I always hate trying to min-max around min-maxers or design around the sweats, like, because 98% of players aren't going to care about that, right? But
right,
that was my first initial thought, was like, I would want to do this.
Dang,
but
it,
then 98%
man.
Of people wouldn't.
No,
right?
you're poking valid holes in the argument, because a lot of POE is about that exact topic. Oh my goodness, we just trailed. Holy crap. Okay, Thorns, my man, I'm curious, what attracted you to this play style in Path of Exile 2? Firstly, was it just, wow, there's a lot of options, or wow, there's nobody doing anybody with this, or just, oh, I got some Thorns gear, let's equip it, see how it goes, and you found out, oh, it actually works, it's not a meme.
So if you look at the very first videos on my channel, the first two I'm uploaded were Diablo 4 Thorns PvP videos. I'm normally a PvPer in video games,
yep.
And I've always wanted ARPGs to do PvP right. And surprisingly, what Diablo 4 very rarely did right, one of them was their Thorns was actually pretty fun. And then their PvP, at least in the early patches, was pretty fun. But I did a Cyclone build originally in that game. And then I got a Thorns unique and I was like, oh, this sounds like it'd be hilarious in PvP. Let's see if it works. And then I was one, like, people were one-shotting themselves off of me in PvP. So I made like two little funny montage videos of that. And then I ended up doing Thorns endgame videos after that, just for the fun of it. Just because the D4 was There's not really much to do, so why not play Thorns, right?
Yeah.
But it the exact same thing happened in PoE 2. I started as an Edicon Infernalist, and Edicon was just not working for me, for most people, right? It just was not good. It's got way better in 0.2 for a reason.
Yeah.
But when I was mapping on it, I got a Thorns unique drop, just like in Diablo 4, and I was like, oh, I thought Thorns was a dead stat in PoE 1. And I work in game development, and it's always bothered me that game developers add stuff to games for no reason at all. And Thorns in most of these ARPGs, at least the older ones, were literally dead stats. Someone took the time to code that into the game to assign it to these items for it to have no value. And that's always bothered me. And that's why it kind of attracted me in PoE 2. I saw that GGG was taking a dead stat that they, like, a formerly dead stat that they had, like, for some reason had determined dead for the entirety of PoE 1.
Yeah.
And they were now put an item toward it. And then I was like, oh, cool. And then I watched a DS Lily video about how to look up stuff on the trade. And I learned that how to, like, search all the modifiers and stuff. And I easily found, like, there was, like, several different things for Thorns. And then I looked at the skill tree and I was like, oh, hey, there's 5 or 6 passives for Thorns. And it literally just started from that. It's like, that's how all of my builds start, by the way. I think PoE players have a problem because of PoE 1 of asking too many questions. They think, I want to do this, but then what about this problem and this problem and this problem? This ascendancy might not work for it because of this thing. It's like, my process is, oh, this looks fun. What do I want to do it on?
Right.
We go. Like,
yeah.
That's it. So, like, that's where it started. It was like, oh, Thorns items. Oh, cool. This seems cool on Warbringer. Like, could have worked on 100 different things, right? But it just, like, that go, you know? And that's how it started. It was just, and then after that, like, you've seen the success of the videos and how well they're doing. It would seem stupid to stop making Thorns content. As long as I'm having fun doing it, from, like, the creator perspective of it, especially since, like, there was no one, like, because it was a dead stat in PoE 1, there was no creator in the space. It's not like there was a Righteous Fire Guy, or not Righteous Fire Guy, what's the Pox ability?
That's Righteous Fire, PoE 1.
Oh, that's Righteous Fire, right. Okay, yep, yeah, Righteous good. Fire. There was no one assigned to Thorns already, so I just kind of slid into a space that clearly has demand, I guess. People are watching the videos and playing the guides. Like, my Mobalytics are getting lots of likes and stuff. Like,
that's awesome.
So as long as I'm having fun with it, I'll keep doing Thorns videos. But if it ever stops being fun, believe me, I won't keep doing it. It's not like a ultra fixation with it, but there's just a lot of good things going on that ended up aligning.
Yeah.
I'm having fun, so why not?
Wait, well, I have 2 follow-up questions to do with Thorns. And one is, man, I don't think I'd ever play a Thorns build.
It's hard to say that. I'm going to make you play
one.
But at some point over the course of PoE2's existence,
bro,
I will have you convinced you to try a Thorns build.
If you can make Werebear Thorns work, give it to me. Give it to me.
If Druid is next, I am league starting as a Thorns Druid. I haven't fact checked this, but one of my viewers says if you go watch one of the old ExileCon videos of, like, a panel or something, they showcase Druid stuff, and Bear Druid specifically had Thorns Ascendancy stuff. So no matter what happens, I'm league starting as a Druid. If Druid comes out next, I'm league starting a Druid and going Thorns. But if there is a Bear Ascendancy with Thorns, I am absolutely doing that. And if that's what you're looking for, it's coming very soon, my friend.
Well,
I imagine it is in the next patch.
Yeah, well, then I will play Thorns build. Okay, your viewer is lying to you unless I have missed some very crucial Druid information.
I don't know. I've never fact-checked it, so this could be complete wrong, but I think one of my viewers was...
He was... I think the bear is supposed to be, like, the tank, though. Like, the absorbing damage, so it would make sense that it feeds into the Thorn archetype. Sense, yeah. So that...
Well, Druid's also Grambly. I've always been pitching for a Porcupine Ascendancy, but if the Bear Ascendancy ends up being the Thorns one, I'm all for that, man.
Well, there should be some, like, thorny skills, like, you know, vines and spikes and everything to tie into it. So
Druids are very thorny.
You're not thorny, but yeah, your spells can be thorny too. By the
way, Druid and Templar are both good cases for thorn stuff.
Yeah, 100%. By the way, you don't know how tempted I was to make the thumbnail for this video is the thorniest build maker. And I really wanted
to... I love the Darth Sidious, by the way.
Thank you.
I thought that was super cool.
It was funny. I really wanted to lowercase the T and uppercase the H to like be like, wait, what the hell is going on? To have people click, like, what was going on? I had it like that, and then I was like, nah, let's not do it. Let's not draw in those people. Let's just keep it about the horse. But I had it for a sec. I was like, oh, this might be funny. Okay, so yes, you might get me. If it's bear thorns, I might do. But the primary thing
I'm 100% that, league starting that.
Okay.
100% league starting
it. The primary thing that, at least when I'm watching your builds and everything, they don't look too... And I'm saying this playing Lightning Spear. So I don't think active is the right word. Maybe flashy is the right word? Like, they don't have that flash, that big, like, kaboom. I know that you had, like, the Beera's screen clearing thing going on for a while. That was fixed, right? I believe that was, like...
No, it still works, but the damage is
not as crazy.
It's a great mapping build, right. But it doesn't do bossing at all anymore. It's
doesn't
a dead
do bossing.
For bossing build.
So how would you like apply that pizzazz to a Thorns build? Or do you think that's possible? Or is this just an archetype where it's like, all right, you are moving around, you're just killing stuff passively. There's never going to have that necessary flair to it, you know?
So there are a bunch of people who say this game's too hard and there's no build diversity and things like that. These people are dumb and bad. Every single day, I am learning brand new mechanics that just completely change how I'm approaching and thinking about Thorns because I'm playing the game and trying new things. Okay. One of the reasons I started my new series is because I'm playing ascendancies you wouldn't normally think of to play Thorns on to put myself in situations where I have to solve problems. And what I found today on the Chayula Monk Thorns I'm working on has completely solved what you're just talking about. I have now made Thorns fully screen clear with big poison bleed explosions. Yeah. You can actually see it in my most recent YouTube short. But these are all things that I'm trying to actively constantly solve. Clearly, sometimes there's not the tools in the game. But just because you said that, it doesn't look flashy. It just made me happy because literally like 3 hours before this podcast, I found this weird interaction. It was literally from a YouTuber. Like, it just showed up in my feed. It had 68 views. It said like Warrior Bleed Shield build. I was like, what the hell is that? And I clicked on it. And he was doing some weird prolification between Herald of Blood and Herald of Plague that was caused, like, you'll see it in the video guide, but it essentially makes your Herald of Plague cause a poison explosion, and it's full clearing the screen. And you're doing that all through bleed, which is easy to build into as Thorns. So you just do a single Thorns kill, and then suddenly it's causing an explosion that's spreading to everyone. And it's really cool.
That's interesting. And by the way,
it literally just happened too.
By the way, you are being called based in the chat, so nobody's mad. At least in the live chat, everyone's like, totally based, totally right.
I went into the stream with no chats open because I'm terrified. I'm gonna be as honest as I can be. When I've uploaded my last few commentary videos, I expected them to get downvoted into oblivion. The last one did not. It's like a 90% upvote rate. I think I've done a good job of like cultivating a community that's not acting that way, or not acting that way is the wrong word, but it's just, I'm bringing in, I guess I'm cultivating the right audience, I guess is just the right way to phrase it. And yeah, it's cool. I guess I'm sure at some point there might be someone reacts to a video and that sends a wave of these people over or something. Maybe this podcast is does it.
No, when I look at your comments, nobody will come over. Everybody's really nice who's watching, right? You guys, right?
Look, when I look at your comments, man, I feel so bad.
I gotta not take them seriously anymore. I'm sorry. I love reading the comments.
I'm trying my hardest to do that, dude.
But sometimes they're a little wild. They're a little out there. The doomerism is pretty high, you know?
It's not just doomerism. It comes with nothing of benefit. It's just like, it's
very polarized.
Half of them is just POE bad. And like, that's the sentence. It's like, it's not just POE bad, but the one sentence they say is the summary is POE bad, but it doesn't like explain, they don't give any, like the video might not even be pertaining to the sub that at all. And they don't give any context as to what they're saying. It's really weird.
That's why I really like Off Meta Michael's videos. Because he is saying, if people listen to the content of the vids, POE2, bad for me in this sense. Here's why. It's great, you know? Even someone who is not as intelligent and is a massive PoE 2 glazer can understand what he's saying, like with the temporal chains that we talked about. Like,
yeah, it's perfect.
This is crap. This is absolutely, this should be gone from the game, right? So I just wish people would be a little less polarized, a little more chill, a little bit more accepting, like yourself, just like going in with a little bit more of an open mind when it comes to like just the game mechanics and it being different from not just PoE 1. I know it's PoE 2. It still can be different from PoE 1 and lots of other games and ARPGs. Speaking a little bit on that, just I wanted to follow up one more time with your quest right now. That's really cool to hear that the Acolyte of Shayula is working well with the Thorns build. Do you have any predictions on what might be the wackiest Thorn interaction? Like, do you have a plan, or are you just going like off the cuff? Like, you started, now you're on Acolyte of Shayula. Third one is whatever comes to your head next.
The Chiyula was me polling my audience. That was like an accident. I didn't want to do the Chiyula. I'm happy it did now, because Chiyula is really bad for the Thorns. Aspects of it just don't straight up work with Thorns. Like, Mana Leech doesn't work with Thorns right now. It's like just bug, right? So that entire portion of the Ascendancy doesn't work. And then the Darkness portion of the Ascendancy removes your Spirit. You can't play without Scavenged Plating right now. Like, Spirit Gems are just so important to it. So literally half the Ascendancy has no value. And then the Fires from the Chiyula Monk is the worst Ascendancy point in the game. It's like so bad and dumb. Where you have to go collect all those fires. They have no value. They don't buff. They get buffed by persistence buffs. They don't like refresh the stack whenever you pick up a new one, like Scavenged Plating does. So it's just entire Ascendancy is just it's Chiyula Monk. I did an Ascendancy ranking video last patch, and Chiyula Monk was last place for that. Like, it's just, and they really didn't address a lot of the problems with
it. And that's sad too, because it's a cool concept. It really is. Yeah.
It's really cool. A Chaos Monk should be cool, but right. Because it's so bad, it forced me to solve it's like problems that I didn't have to solve on other builds. And that made me figure out these new things that now, like, so my Chronomancer taught me recoup, right? Every other Thorns build I did, I was doing Leech, but I was like, okay, we're doing Chronomancer, so let's try recoup, because it has the recoup ascendancy. The rest of the ascendancy is bad for it. And I learned a lot about recoup, and now I think every Thorns build should be recoup, not Leech, because of the benefit you get from the energy shield. So just a huge learning process from that. And then you have the Chiyula Monk, where I had to solve all of these problems, like so many extra problems. And that's where I learned how to clear. Like, I was going into it like, oh, we're going to do poison. And when poison wasn't working that great, I just started messing with stuff and learning stuff. And then eventually now the Chiyula Monk is performing better than my last several Thorns builds, despite being the worst ascendancy for it. So once I go back to those old stuff and reapply what I learned, they're just going to perform better. Yeah. Next, I'm doing Ritualist. Not like you asked, do I have a plan for the next ones? I do have a plan for the next ones. I'm not going to let my community vote on the next one. I specifically want to do Ritualist because Ritualist benefits both of the styles I learned from Chronomancer and the Chili the Monk, because you have the bleed portion of the Ascendancy and the recoup portion of the Ascendancy. Also, Thorns is just really weak because it's super unique heavy. The third ring slot is insanely huge for. I think it's going to like be massive for the Thorns build. It's going to be so comfy, just the extra stats you get from it.
Yeah.
And then I think Titan is just like the pinnacle of Thorns build. Like, you're just going to get so much damage. So I have Ritualist and Titan planned, and then I'm probably taking a break until 0.3 to prevent burnout.
Nice. That's smart. And I think there will be an okay size break. Do you think you're going to play the PoE 1 patch now that you're kind of immersed in, you know, PoE 2 at least, or maybe not?
I don't know. Okay. It just depends on what's going on in PoE at the time. I was looking forward to trying Last Epoch, but now I don't think I'm going to. I'm going to wait for a future patch, and hopefully they don't do that early access creator thing.
Oh, right, where people already have like build guides and crap out. I don't like that.
To me, my favorite thing moment in this patch was when a Cooler Peon, shout out to Cooler Peon, go check out his YouTube channel, he's the one that brought the Bira's Ignite to the public with his build. He did it through a ranged version, and like when you have a ranged build, which is the most meta version of it, don't play my Thorns build, play the meta version, no one could have predicted that coming, right? No one thought Bira's build was going to be a thing going into this patch. It was something that evolved in real time. And that happens because we don't have creators having access to a private build.
Right.
And like the excuse they use is, it's going to make the game better. But then when you look at these tier lists, clearly it's not better. So I don't I don't understand the justification of it to me. And I don't want to participate.
The discovery is one of the, it's one of my favorite parts of the game, even as someone who's not like a giant build crafter, just finding out all this stuff in game, whether it's build related, just the new unique. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I still did feel that in 0.2, even though I played quite a bit of 0.10, it felt like they added enough new in the game, especially playing myself like the Huntress and Spears, that I had that whole feeling over again, and it was awesome. I really enjoyed it.
I said it in my last off the meta video, but this patch is a build maker's paradise. Like, if this patch isn't for most people, that's fine. It's because they reworked all of the skill gems, and then they added a bunch of new support gems and new gems for us to play with and new uniques and stuff. Like, nothing else changed about the end game. This is just a fun little patch for build makers. So I'm having a blast trying out all this new stuff personally.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Now,
there are problems, but
Hey, we don't have to do that here. I feel like every time I say a good thing about PoE 2, I do have to preface it.
Agreed. There's this weird urge. It's just like I can't glaze too hard. Can't do it.
I know. Okay. Speaking of glazing, maybe this isn't so much glaze. We'll see in a second. Okay. You had a video that came out a few weeks ago at this point that really spoke to me, and it was kind of a commentary on. I'm sorry, everybody out there. I'm one of you. Don't be too mad. On Path of Exile 1 players and their relation to Path of Exile 2. And I want to preface this again for Kaltarak and myself. There are problems with Path of Exile 2, yes. And the fact that Grinding Gear Games has not updated PoE 1 is bad. That sucks. They did say that they were going to update it, and it's been pushed a lot. That really sucks. I feel for you guys. I've had my favorite game basically put into, you know, sunset mode, and that's not happening with PoE 1, by the way, but I know it feels that way. So I understand. We empathize with you, okay? However, Kaltarak, you got a pretty interesting take here. Did you want to share it with the class?
Yes. Sure. I'm going to preface this with, I'm going to generalize a lot here. When I say these PoE players, I'm talking about the loud, obnoxious, annoying nerds on Reddit that are in every YouTube comment, copy-pasting the same message on every PoE video and YouTube short. This is not most of you. This is just a very loud and angry minority, and I truly believe it is a minority of the community that is acting this way. It seems like it's a lot of people, but I don't believe that is the case. But that being said, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. DS Lily, when she, I watched a lot, she was like one of the few creators that actually made content that was direct, that spoke to new players very well. And I remember in one of her early videos, she said that the PoE community gets a bad rap and gets called gatekeepy. But it's not the creators that do that. It's the community. And I did not know what she meant when she said that, because in every other gaming community I've been a part of, I've been a content creator for 15 years now across many different genres and games, it is the opposite. Most creators are very clicky. They're very gatekeepy. They want to keep all the views to themselves. It's very like, this is my territory. Stay away. If you try and make builds in my section, like, we're going to be at war with each other, right? And I expected that to be the same here, right? And I did not believe her when she said that. But it's been obvious, for one, it has been the exact opposite. I have so many creators that have reached out to me, and I have not had like a bad interaction with a single creator across the board. I may not agree with how some of the creators are reacting right now, like kind of rage baiting their audience. I have a video coming out about that. Both you and Sir Gog talked about this topic. I appreciated your perspectives. I might be going a little bit harder in my video.
Oh, God.
But, I agree with DS Lily completely now. These people agreed. Like, I learned so much about, like, her trade videos are, if you struggle with trade, go watch her trade videos. Like, she'll teach you all of the different search filters and stuff, and it's masterclass. I didn't believe her in that video just because it's not my experience with any other community, and it was absolutely the case there. These specific people are very rude, loud, and they're very needy. I don't know how to phrase it. I try not to be too rude towards them, but like, I don't know the proper word for it, but they expect the world from you, and then they want to spit on you while doing it. Like, it's very weird. Like, the requests I get in my comments, like, they're coming to me for my builds, but they're angry about me for not doing it the way they want it. It's a lot of stuff like that. It's very, a title, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. These PoE 1 players, I shouldn't say PoE 1 players. These people I'm talking about, like, when you look at these Reddit threads, they're just very angry. And I'm trying to find the words I want to say without going too far, because...
You're good. You're good. I think you're doing fine.
Your comic section on... Which was video was it? It was the one where you did the patch review. And you said these were good notes. Like, anyone... I don't know if you ever moderated those comments.
No.
But if you did not, please go look through those video, those comments. Like, it is... There is no way you can make these people happy. Yeah. They are just in a perpetual state of anger, and they are just violently hate-watching all PoE content. If you're having fun, you're their enemy. Both Try and I love Path of Exile 1. We are in the same community as them. Like, we both enjoy that game. We think it's amazing. We think it's the best endgame experience of all time. But now we're like traitors to them because we see the potential in this early access game. Like, it's... I cannot think of any other word besides gatekeeping. What DSLA really rings in my head right now is these people, they want, if you don't do it a certain way, it's wrong, and they're going to be like, make sure you can't enjoy it. I don't know how else to phrase it.
It was Snoobe. Snoobe 85. He's another creator. He's been releasing a few videos along these lines, kind of talking about this PoE 1, PoE 2 divide and how people are very upset with PoE 2. And he brought up a very interesting point. I'm just going to say PoE 1 players, because it is a lot. It's a lot of PoE 1 players. They're coming to PoE 2 and they're saying, why is this design like this? It's like this in PoE 1. It should be like this in PoE 2. And a great example that I've loved talking about is the campaign. Okay. A lot of people say, the PoE1 campaign, not you, is exquisite, okay? You can do it in like 4 hours if you're even semi-hardcore, right? The best of us can play, or is it, 5 hours, the whole campaign? It's something like 4 and 5 hours, the campaign. Really fast, right? Blast through it. It's easy. Wow. So easy. And with PoE2, oh my gosh. I consider myself a hardcore player. Man, but it takes me 15 hours to get through. And everybody's like, it should be 5 hours. PoE1's campaign is 5 hours. Why is it not 5 hours? And what I say to that is, okay, PoE1's campaign is 5 hours. That's cool. PoE1 is a separate game. PoE2's campaign doesn't need to be the same amount of time. It doesn't need to be less time. It is a different game. It's the goal doesn't always have to be to day one maps or something. Maybe it's a little bit more of a long experience that they're looking for with PoE2. Maybe that's what they're experimenting with. You know, I would imagine that. I don't see how this campaign is going to, with all six acts even, is going to go down to like a 4 or 5 hour experience for someone a little bit more hardcore than myself who memorizes the layouts. Because I don't think that's the experience they're going for. And my point with this is we're all acting like we want to design PoE2 to be like PoE1 when the developers, at least in some of their design and all of their messaging pre-early access release, distinctly wanted to make a different game than PoE1. That's why they separated the games out at the end of the day, right? Because it was so fundamentally different, or so they said. But all of this pushback is coming and it's saying, we hate this. We don't want a different thing from PoE1. We want this basically the same game with some new bells and whistles, better graphics, animations, and PoE2. And it's so frustrating to read all these comments. Because if you say something like that, if you take the side of the devs and you say, okay, let's give them a chance, you are either a shill or a hater. You are either glazing the devs, or you are, you know, rage baiting your viewers and talking about how the devs suck. Yeah, they don't. It's very frustrating from like my POV, and I know this happens to other people as well. Because I'm not going to give in. I'm not just going to be like, yeah,
that's where I'm
screw
at.
The
like,
devs.
I'm openly combative with
screw
them right
them.
Now.
Like I'm not gonna. People call you disingenuous, and then they're telling you how you should feel. I mean, bro, stop. What do you mean? You're telling me how to feel? I'm not being disingenuous. We are being legitimate. You, me, Snoobe, many other people. You know, like, I think a lot of people are back to PoE 2, right? After playing, like, Last Epoch.
Dude, that's what blows my mind, dude.
And it's they're like, enjoying it. All the creators are coming
and
back.
All claiming it before. And I have a video coming out. I don't know if I should release it, but I keep referencing DS Lily, but she recently did her Last Epoch review. And in her opening statement, she goes, you know, when I talk about Last Epoch, I'm looking down on it like it's a little brother that you want it to just do well, and you're sad that it's not performing as well as you can, right? And like, I feel like that's the tone they should have with this game. It's the one in 0.2, not the one that just spent a year on a 1.1 patch. Why are they not being more critical of that game than this game? Like, they're just so hate. Like, I'm not saying DS Lily has been overly critical of this game, but like other creators are super glazing Last Epoch right now. But their tone, the tone they take when they talk about this video, like so many creators will open with the line like, "Well, here's my minion build. This is GGG's vision, I guess." And then they immediately, their tone turns, they're having fun, they're showing off the build, and it's complete. They're like, it is a tone difference, and they're not being, I don't believe they're being genuine.
But if you enjoy the game, you're being disingenuous. Just saying. It's fascinating to see, dude. I truly think it all stems from the fact of the development woes here. And a lot of people are just pissed. They are jaded that PoE won. I think it's real. I think it makes sense. However, here, this is where I don't know what your opinion on this, get called, you know, the biggest glazer of all. I have a real job. Okay. You have a real job. You work in game development. Why the actual, I'll swear, you've sworn, we've already sworn, this video's already whatever, right. Whatever happens to the, what the actual fuck? People think that, like, the lead developers are trying to sabotage both games. All right,
They've made PoE 1 too, by the way. The game they love, it's the same dudes, but they're suddenly trying to ruin this one? Like, it is clown tier absurdity.
Guys,
clown tier.
Guys, they're not trying to do that. There's not a grand conspiracy. Crazy. You know, I see a lot of people are saying, oh, well, all these big name devs are leaving. A lot of these people have been working on this for 12, 13, 14 years. That is abnormal, right? In the video game industry, so abnormal to spend all your life on.
2 to 3 years is average.
Yeah. So blood, sweat, and tears. Some of them are going to their own forays. That's awesome for them. You know, like, and one of them, I know that they deny it. I think he freaking left because people were so toxic to him. I go back and read those comments. I don't know if you were playing Realm League of Kalandra, but when it was announced that Chris Wilson departed the studio, my idiot brain went to his Reddit account and I reread his final messages on the forums where, yes, were the decisions they made dumb? Yeah, the decisions were dumb in that patch.
Swing and a miss.
But, oh my gosh, he was in the trenches battling people. And all the if you go to those threads, deleted by moderators. I was there live. I saw that shit. And you know what?
That sucks.
You know what Chris was doing? This is Chris at 4 a.m. Okay. Scrolling through all these messages, talking about how people are gonna, I can't say it on YouTube, but it's depressing. I don't know, guys. Like,
and now they're like praising him that he's gone and stuff. Like, it's just like these people don't think. It makes no sense to me, bro.
Oh, I can feel the dislike button being slammed right now. I don't. It's like
I'm willing to bring it on. Like, I know. To me, I see my like. I know this is your opinion too. I don't even have to ask it, but you can clarify. You can
go for it.
If it is the PoE 2 is my like. We use this term in MMOs. We all want the forever MMO. We want an MMO we can live forever in. Mm-hmm. Path of Exile 2, maybe not forever ARPG, but for the next 10 years, I would only need Path of Exile 2 from this moment forward. Yeah. Like, it's my forever ARPG from now on. I know the direction over the next 2 to 5 years is going to get better and better. Sure, they're going to miss sometimes. This is the worst it's going to be. And for all the people who are worried about the doomers in this community and stuff, keep this in mind. The game is not free to play yet. If we jump 5 years in the future and get every single person who has played PoE 2 yet, a majority of them have not played PoE 2 yet.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
The game is going to gain so many players that do not have this pre-built-in hatred. And at some point, these guys are going to get drowned out. You said it in your post the other day. I think it's going to be the motto of my channel maybe going forward. The best thing to happen for PoE 2 is the return of PoE 1. Please, please bring back PoE 1 so we can all sleep at night. Get these people back to their game so they can have fun. Let us have peace over here. If they hate this game, good. Go enjoy that one. They need it. Yeah. They need it bad. GGG.
And anybody listening, because I know I'm watching the chat. I see the arguments. Guys, if you are not in... I watched a Dr. K episode the other day. So healthy GG, healthy gamer GG, whatever. He's a psychologist on Twitter. Yeah, I've never watched a video. I watched his interview with Thor, Pirate Software.
Mm-hmm. I watched clips of that.
You watched clips? Okay. See, I saw clips and I was like, I'm wondering if there's more context. Clip farmers are a plague on this earth. I watched that full thing. Man, did they do, you know.
Bro,
they're
the worst.
They cut, I think it's the narcissist part where, like, Dr. K calls him a narcissist. They cut it at the perfect second where Dr. K says, and I'm not calling you, like, I'm not saying you're, this is an example. They cut it, like, right before he said, oh, it was so good. It was so good. Anyway, we don't need to get into the Thor drama, but that was.
Savages.
It was a really good interview. It was really good. It was 2.5 hours. I listened to it while I was mowing. He's wonderful. It's good. Guys, so the whole point of that, I don't want to go psychotherapist on people, but if you're not enjoying something, don't interact with it. It's bad. It's bad when you're doing it on political posts on Reddit. It's bad when you're in the comments of a YouTube video about a game that you don't like. It's just bad for yourself. It's bad for your family. It's literally just bad all around. Like, if I don't enjoy something, I don't know what you do, Keltrack. I don't play it. I don't do it. Like, unless it's like running, right? When I'm like, I don't want to freaking run today, but I have to run. Right. I'm going to go run. Like, I'll do it if it's good for me. But this is not good for you. You know? Right?
Yeah. I spent many years as an angry gamer forcing myself to do things I hated. I played MOBAs for the longest time. And MOBAs are players who really, really hate themselves. And I've grown out of that now. Yes. Yeah. Being an angry gamer is not fun or cool.
No. Did you play Heroes of the Storm? Did you play League of Legends or Dota 2 in addition, or did you not play?
Yeah, I played League a lot more than Dota, but okay. I used to do like commentary, and I used to do like work with Tempo Storm and a lot of other stuff in the Heroes of the Storm space. So like I was kind of like an employee of that game, I guess.
Oh, okay. I have 13,000 hours in Dota 2.
Oh, you're a beast.
I haven't played in 3.5 years.
I found there is a lot of overlap between Dota 2 and PoE 2 or PoE players.
I basically started playing PoE. Yeah. And then I stopped. Yep. Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, it makes sense. There's a
limited
personality overlap there for there.
Oh, most definitely. Oh, my goodness gracious. That was a tangent, my man. I'm looking at all these other topics that we had to discuss. Okay, let's end with this, Kel'Thurak. Where do you think Grind Gear Games could currently improve the game most? And I think I already know your answer on this. I've watched all your commentary videos, but...
It might not be what you expect, because I do want them to improve like trading and endgame, obviously. But so many people have already done long rants about that. I don't feel like I'm unqualified to request those need to be improved. Those are obvious. To me, the thing that is hardest about this game is how skills are displayed. It is very not intuitive. If they really want the new player experience to be better, like for right now, right? You can use shields on multiple weapon types, right? Like a spear can use shields with shield charge, but shield charge is only under maces. It is not under spears.
Okay.
So if you're new to the game and you're playing spears for the first time, you have no idea that you can use shield charge with spears just intuitively as a new player. You would have to actively try putting it on. There's a lot of like confusion in just how skill gems are displayed right now. And I feel like that is like the new player experience is really rough right now. Were you predicting me to talk about trade?
I was predicting you to talk about balance updates.
Oh,
that was my prediction. But this is
better. I actually thought about bringing that up on this podcast. I can't believe they stopped the weekly balance updates because of the community's reaction that one time. That
I'm gonna say it as well, guys. Mostly content creator fueled. Just saying.
Absolutely. No, I have my episode 2 of Off the Meta right now is talking about how content creators are the fuel of a lot of this right now. I don't want to blame. No one is blaming anything on what people say. These are the dummies that are saying it. But some of the content creators are definitely making it worse for the rest of us smaller creators.
Right. And I don't think Dragon Gear Games is going to bring that back, unfortunately. I think it was too much, like too many people were relying on these builds. And then when they got nerfed, you know, the follow-up videos come out, the tweets come out about, oh my gosh, I can't believe this was absolutely destroyed. I do think that they could make a little bit of a twist there. Of course, Grinding Gear Games, just make respecs cheaper. Just give a free respec when this happens. Like, put it on cooldown.
Why is respec cheap?
Say again? Why aren't they cheap?
Or free? Like the point of this specifically is building builds and testing builds and making sure these, like, we want to get all the F tier builds to B tier and stuff, but we can't do that if, like, the step in the right direction was adding ascendancy respecs. Like,
yeah,
I don't have to level a Titan now. I can just change my Warbringer, right? Like, that saves me so much time as someone who's going to be trying to provide feedback. But
right,
yeah, it's rough, man.
All right, man. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on before we hopped off? Any other final topics? I know we went on a lot of tangents, so I always like to include more topics than we'll probably ever get to.
I just want to say that I greatly appreciate a creator like you.
Oh, no, not the glaze.
First of all, we need to normalize glazing our bros. Okay, phrasing. We need to normalize great. Like, when we're proud of each other, we should be able to say good job. But a creator like you, who is you're rare in other gaming communities. Someone who is like not just providing the daily news. Sure, that can be like done by a lot of creators, but your interaction with community members is so needed in a lot of other gaming spaces. I have been introduced to so many creators through you, not just small creators, but big creators. Like, I'm a huge fan of Sir Gog, Dreamcore now from your main podcast, but also smaller creators like Off Metal Michael. I did not see a single one of his videos before your podcast, right?
Hell yeah.
All through you. And you are not like something you do is rare. Sure, other communities might have it, but it's not as well executed. The fact that I, like, yes, my channel is blowing up, but like the fact that me, Off Meta Michael, like, are on the same platform that you've had these bigger creators on, like, that means that you aren't just invested. Like, obviously you want your channel to grow, but you clearly are invested into Path of Exile, the community, not 100%. Just the game, not just your channel, but the community. And that, again, is rare, and it is greatly appreciated from someone like me.
Oh, Caltrack, I mean, that thank you, first of all, and that speaks directly to what I really have been trying to do with, like, the pod. It initially, right, I was like, oh, this would be a cool idea to grow the channel. But then I also saw, I can also get on these tiny creators that just randomly pop up on my YouTube recommended on my homepage. They have, like, 300 subs, and they made a PoE2 video, and it was really cool. And give them a signal. It's so nice. I've been able to do that with a lot of people. And of course, like you said, yeah, you're blowing the hell up, man. Congratulations, by the way. What was that community post? 1.3 million views the last 28 days? Bro.
I just broke 3.2 million.
Oh my God.
I remember the first time I passed a million on my channel, and it took like over a year. And I was like, I just passed a million views. Cool. And I just got 3.2 in a single month. I think I've gained like over 3,000 subscribers. It's absurd.
Man. Hey, you said you wanted to start this channel to figure out like how to do shorts, bro.
You got it now.
You got it, dude. You can be pumping out Thorn shorts for the rest of your life, man. You're gonna be sad.
They're doing. I'm shocked. Like, they're getting a lot of subscribers. By the way, that's what shocked me the most. Yep. Like, when they, like, those are getting hundreds of subscribers per short. Like, per short. And they're easy to churn out. Like, I understand why these creators churn them now. It's not about the, like, the views they get. Like, subs. They're getting new subs, like, it's huge.
That'll hopefully translate into long form views, because it's not like you're it's not like you're doing different content with your long form. Like, it's just elaboration on all these really cool builds that obviously resonate with folks. And man, if you're seeing numbers like that right now, dude, wait until like it goes free to play. Wait until the next big content. Like, I saw a lot of people talking about negative Steam reviews. Guys, mostly negative, recent Steam reviews. People who were fucking pissed about the state of the patch went and they blasted it on Steam. That was good. I'm not saying that was bad. That's like probably a net that caused grinding your game. I think more so than any other shit, any of the firestorms on Reddit, the negative Steam reviews. I mean, I'm not going to do conspiracy. Tencent was probably like, yo, what's going on? Why is our game mostly negative? You got to make some changes. That lit a fire under their butts. So I think it is huge. Yeah.
As someone like who has, I have, like on Steam reviews and like wishlist, that whole thing, like it's the algorithm for that entire platform. Like subscribes, comments on this platform, that is all that on Steam. So it's huge. It matters.
I think there's a difference. You know, people are saying, calling out how we were saying it was the vocal minority earlier. If you read those Steam reviews, a lot of them are, they're like measured. Okay. They're not what we're talking about. The vocal minority we were talking about are the people who are literally, like we were saying, hate posting under videos and going to Reddit threads, attacking the devs, saying out with Jonathan, in with who?
If you're giving visual feedback, that means you're playing the game. Boom. We're not talking about you here.
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about the people that are just hate watch. Like, again, go look at Try's comments. Those are the people we're talking about. They don't provide any actual solutions or any actual feedback. It's just PoE bad.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasonable feedback out there. And we appreciate people who do that. Thank you guys for the measured discussion. Seriously. And we really hope this was also a measured discussion, except for the whole ranty part about 75% of the way through. We both went off. All right, man. This has been great. I really appreciated you hopping on. Hopefully we can do this more in the future, dude. I hope your builds continue to pop off. And I think you're partnered with like Mobalytics now too. So hopefully everything goes well.
I'm signed with them.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's very cool. I'll be happy to come back or on any of your other podcasts, man. Awesome. Obviously, I love talking about this game, and I swear I could chat with this for like another 3 hours with you. Like, this game
I think we could.
You're good, man.
Maybe do some. So maybe you can be a part of like a mobile podcast. That'd be pretty awesome. Talking about builds. Man. That'd be super fun. I'd love that. All right, man. Kalterak, everybody, check out his content on YouTube. I'll have all your links in the description, man. Thank you so much for hopping on today. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Take care, bro.
All right. See ya. Have a good one.